Greetings, peace, people, and welcome to the Conscious Observer. It's going to be another fun review. Again, like I said, fun for me, hopefully fun for you. I feel like it's not, you can't exhaust this knowledge. I'm a baby in it. There's so many things to explore. You know, I was thinking the other day about the exploration of intentional music. Some therapists incorporate gongs and, a gong, like a Chinese brass cymbal. They hit it and the notes reverberate. They use it to emphasize points. If they say something that is very profound, profoundly true, and they want the message to be deeper inside of a person, they'll use this music as a tool to like kind of punctuate or to add a period to the end of their sentence. They'll hit the gong, and the gong's vibration rings inside of the person's mind as though they received manna or gospel or a message that can change their life. Hold on, my hair bud just fell on the floor. Hold on. Driving right now, y'all. I just got a car. Very, very happy with myself for being able to afford the car. The car is essential. It's essential to happiness. Nah, that's not true. But, of course, to a degree it is. I'm just very fortunate, and I feel blessed, and I feel cleaner, and my mind is a little bit better. I've just gotten out of a relationship didn't intend on talking about this, but I do believe in transparency and being a example for transparency, because transparency is good. It's not always good, but it is good when it serves a purpose. And I hope that this serves a purpose. No human being is worth the life of another human being. What two human beings don't equal each other. And that's the purpose of God. To keep our eyes on something that is truly greater than ourselves, more magnificent than ourselves, because a human being is so great and so brilliantly made. I keep struggling with that word. The human being is so magnificent and brilliant in its creation that we can oftentimes begin to worship people instead of worshiping God. And I believe I'm guilty of that. I believe that I fell victim to the flesh of another person. And it took me away from my spiritual side. And my spiritual side is my most coveted side. It's every human being's most coveted side. It's every human being's most beautiful side. It's just not everybody knows that. So not everybody pays attention to it. And, when you don't pay attention to your spirit gets smaller, it starts to shrink, And I think I suffered some damage from the decision that I made. I know I suffered damage spiritually from the decision. And I got out of the relationship, and I feel lighter. Spiritually speaking, I feel lighter, you know, and a lot of my, you know, spiritual weight happens in my head. I know some people might feel it, you know, in their body. But, you know, I can have pressure on my brain, and that pressure right at now as I'm speaking is not, it's not there. And I thank Allah for that. Going up to the mall to pick up some boots, I bought myself some Doc Martens. That's like a boot that I like, that is, you know, it's a unique boot. I'm not all about looking like other people, but I don't mind looking like other people at the same time. It's, you know, the Timberland is a little played. It's a little bit of a played shoe. I think the market is open for a new boot to, you know, emerge. So for all you fashion designers out there, I think that would be a great place to start. You know, like Rick Owens and those weirdos, those fashion weirdos, they make boots, but joints just don't be really things that are feasible as far as wearing it, just without trying to draw all this type of attention to yourself. It's just not, you know, the most but what was I gonna say? Yeah, there's so many different knowledges. You know, the incorporation of music, not rap. I'm not talking about that. Although I am talking about spoken word and not even poetry, because when you put those labels on it, then there's a, you know, a certain expectation for you to talk and speak a certain way. Like if I said rap, then immediately you're going to start, you know, trying to rhyme words together. But if I said talk, you know, there's no connotation to that. You talk however you like, and it can be poetic. It can be rhythmic and rhyming. Because if the more we do that, you know, poetry, you know, spoken word, ooh, I took a bath. The water was nice. The temperature was right. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's really nice. And it's intention, you know, when things are intentional, is you know, there's beauty in the intentionality. You know, it's beauty in labels. Labeling things does have a beauty. But I think right now the course of action to take for creatives is to operate in a space of rawness, raw states, to develop something new. Because we have excavated the ground of creativity as far as these other genres are concerned. We've, you know, we've bulldozed the hell out of rap. We, you know, we didn't dug up the whole ground of rap. Rap is like, rap look like a diamond mine in Africa. Just the whole ground just ate up. It's not too much more we can do with rap. I know a lot of people disagree, but I would, you know, say to you that you may not be observing as good as you could be. I wanted to say, oh, the review. Yeah, this is supposed to be a fun episode. This is season 3. I have no idea how I've ordered these seasons, so I know somebody is out there looking at the strangeness of the order that I'm listing these episodes in, because I'm sure I've totally messed up the chronology of it. So forgive me for that. I don't commit these to paper first. They're not, I don't really have a formal approach to this, and I know I should, because I take it seriously. And I do take it seriously, but I'm coming out of the stage of it being more so like a a hobby or more so like a, you know, some type of venting therapeutic thing for me to do to, you know, cleanse myself and to take it more seriously as something that is truly an educational platform. We'll get to those things later. I definitely will make those improvements later, but I don't always have anything to talk about. So I have to make sure that when I do, that I'm ready. But I just was, this is a fun review. Like this review that I'm giving right now is fun. As it doesn't really have anything to do with black people, but of course it does. Because it's a black man talking. When a black man speaks, you should listen. I had two incidences today. People don't listen when black men speak. I had a white lady, two white ladies. And this goes to show you that the value and existence of black men is valued so low that when we speak, and we could be speaking directly to a person, their internal monologue speaks over top of us and blocks out the things that we say. I had a white lady, we're in the consignment shop looking at antiques. And I'm looking at the jewelry and said, oh, this is a nice piece of jewelry. This is nice. This is nice. It's nice jewelry. She said, oh, yes. I said, did you make this? She said, no, I didn't make this. I took a chandelier and I took the pieces off the chandelier and then I attached them to this. And I said, in my mind, I'm saying to myself, so you made it. And the person I was with, they understood what I said. They understood. I said, I don't think that lady ever answered my question, did she? And she said, no, not at all. Yeah, you made it. Then when we were at the grocery store, white lady says, oh yeah, I have a son. He plays video games, Call of Duty, all that kind of stuff. It's his birthday tomorrow. I said, well, ma'am, you know, when you see your son, tell him that your customers at the store say happy birthday. Huh? What? When you see your son, tell him that your customers at the store said happy birthday to him, right? Just like that. She says, it's not my birthday tomorrow. I said, I know, but you just said that it's your son's birthday. It's not my son. She said, no. How do you know my son? I said, ma'am, didn't you just say it's your son's birthday tomorrow? Yeah, it's his birthday tomorrow. I said, yeah, that's what you said. But, you know, stuff like that. People don't listen to black men when they talk. That's the whole point. But thank you all for listening. I appreciate that. What am I trying to say? This review about The Last of Us. That's why this is fun, because it's not even a show about black people, even though there's black people in the show. They do that, of course, because of, you know, the agenda to trick us. And I'll talk about that more often, but just as a show in and of itself. Hold on 1 second. In here picking up some picking up my boots. I wonder, look pretty good when I look in that mirror.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I'm here to pick up some boots.
Picking up?
Yeah. You look like a customer. I didn't know. That's how it is in Journeys.
Oh, yeah,
it's all good.
But this
is that's it. I just take it like that. Thank you, guys. All right, cool. All right. Until, what's his name? Ryan? Yeah, tell him I said thank you.
Yeah, for sure. I got
you. All right. All right. Hungry. Got some hunger. But yeah, this is the Last of Us show. It didn't need to be made at all. That's my opinion. Last of Us did not need to be made at all. It's a terrible idea because it's redundant. They already had a very stupid show called The Walking Dead. That was a very stupid show. It portrayed black people very poorly in that show. And this show is no different. They portray black people as lesbians and, you know, they want to have an arbitrary little black girl. She gets killed in the beginning of the show. And, you know, black women always are so desperate to be included in white people's projects, but they never see that when they're presented in white people's projects, white people always be killing the hell out of them. They'd be like, man, I want to roll in a movie. You know, as a black woman, I just want to roll in a movie. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll put you in a movie. You're going to die. That's fine. That's totally fine. So, it's a very stupid show because it's redundant. And right now, the feel of the show is not really gelling. The characters don't gel. They don't make complete sense with the story that was originally told in the video game. The video game had a much more compelling story, and it was CGI, but it felt so real. And this doesn't. Character Joel, he's been racially swapped with a Mexican. That's wrong, because it takes away his energy, the white man energy. There's some value to the white man's energy. There ain't gonna be no contradictions in what I say. There's value in it. It's a unique signature. It's his ignorant energy signature, especially the energy of the Southern Texas white male. He has a unique energy identifier. You know, a hardworking, no nonsense, you know, cultural cowboy culture energy signature. That's his signature energy. And it's not unpleasant to see. As a black man, I see that and I'm threatened by it, or I see it and I say, oh, that's stupid, or no, I appreciate it. It makes a piece of the fabric of life. You know, that doesn't have uniform. You know, peace does not have to be had by that sort of uniformity. You know, that's what nature teaches us. The garden doesn't have to be all roses. It can be roses and daisies and lilies and orchids. It can be those things. There's room for them. So, but there's a reason. There's a reason why they swapped out the main white character. I'm gonna get to that if I can remember. The reason. Okay. So to continue, I'm gonna turn into a little fat guy again. Fat, just looking at myself in this mirror, fat as hell. I need some khaki pants though for these boots. Oh boy. Y'all shopping with me. I took y'all shopping with me. Thank you. But the show also has a very uninteresting Ellie, who plays the little girl. The show has, you know, wrote her character as being overly confident, overly pretentious, overly intelligent, all to the, you know, detriment of the show itself, because all to the detriment of the show, because it does not lend to reality. It's too Disney. She seems like a Disney Channel character. You know, there's a common motif in the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon where the child is overly intelligent, overly ambitious, to the point where they go on adventures with no adult supervision. The lack of adult supervision in those TV shows, and I want to make you aware of this, is a proponent of programming that lends itself to pedophilia. Because if children can watch themselves, and if children are more intelligent than adults, and if children are, you know, just able to go and come as they please in and out the house and go on adventures and do whatever they want, then essentially children are also able to have a life of their own, right? And these are the cases and the evidence, or not evidence, but it's the programming that they want to push in the child to create the type of child that can be or will be groomed to be in a pedophilia, or it won't at that time be called a pedophilia because that term has a negative connotation. They have other terms. Look up the term MAP, a MAP. That's what they call themselves. A MAP is a minor attracted person. It's a person who is attracted to minors. It's a MAP. You understand? So that programming, it seems innocent. Even though, you know, to black people like myself, it feels wrong. You know, the whole, you know, the child is smarter than the adults. Black people know that that shit would never fly in reality because we smack the shit out of a child quick. We don't smack the shit out of a child. That only flies with white people because there's such a fear of the child dynamic in white culture. You know, they got movies like Rosemary's Baby, where the baby is the devil, or movies like Children of the Corn, where the children are devils, or movies like The Omen, where the child is a devil, or The Orphan, where the child is a murdering psychopath. Like, there's such a fear of children dynamic in white society, where they fear the child. So, because they fear the child, they want to give the child a sense of autonomy, or the child's own sense of authority. You know, like Macaulay Culkin, he was, you know, he sued his parents for his own rights to raise himself at like the age of 12 or some shit like that. And who the hell would go for some shit like that except for a white person? Who the fuck are you? It's not intelligent at all. And I think it probably really messed him up for doing that. But, you know, I don't know the circumstances of his life to know why he made that decision. So I said that because I want you to know that that's what that programming leads to. They're trying to program the child to feel like they can be independent of their parent. They make it all seem all fun. Like, they put the laugh track in the show, have everybody laughing and having fun and a good time. And the whole time, you know, these kids are, you know, out here making adult decisions. And the show is innocent, so it never introduces any sexual activity. But if I was to look into these shows and really investigate, I'm sure I would find all kinds of sexual innuendos and shit like that from the writers of the show trying to impose their sick thoughts on children. So yeah, this actress who plays Ellie, she's trash. Not because she's trash, but because the writers wrote her to be a strong feminine character. And they want to make her the master of the grown man. She's the grown man's master. If you recall in that first episode, it was something that was very key that was said by Tess, the woman, same actress who played in Mindhunter. And I was looking at her face like, man, what did this white lady play in? What did she play in? I'm telling, ask myself, what did she play in? What did she play in? And I'm like, man, she looks so familiar. It was Mindhunter, which was probably the best show that Netflix ever put out. Truth be told, you know, Mindhunter, Squid Games, those are like among the best shows that Netflix ever did. So, something her character said at the beginning, the guy was all scared, oh, we beat you up and you're going to tell Joel. She going to say, Joel answers to me. That was very key. That's what she told the white guy. Joel's going to beat us up. She said, no, no, he won't. He won't. Not if I tell him not to, because he answers to me. That was very key. And when you look at his character, he is very demasculated. And he's demasculated for this reason. I'm getting to what I was going to talk about before. This is a subtlety. Don't ask me, or don't try not to question so much how I got to this conclusion. I'm gonna say that as a precursor, because sometimes you have to really go by faith when you don't know why something is. But I'm gonna do my best to explain it to the point where you should be able to grasp what I'm saying. You have to understand white supremacy. Oh, here he goes with that white supremacy bullshit again. No, you really do. You have to understand white supremacy. You have to understand the tricks and the games that are being played around you. And you have to understand who the players are. See, right now, there's this thing, this running theme in Hollywood and in white circles and in politics where white people are openly demonizing white men. Okay? The white man is actually not that they're demonizing him. That's not the right word, because they're really paying honor and respect to him, but they're doing it in a way where they're saying, like, yeah, the white guy's the bad guy. Like openly saying that, like, he's the bad guy. Like, yeah, he's the bully. They're trying to be transparent. They're trying to also try to trick the oppressed into thinking that they are on the side of the oppressed. So we're going after white men. They're not really going after white men. What they're doing is what white men want them to do. White men have basically told his puppets to attack me. It's like that scene in Breaking Bad where Walter, you know, is, you know, highly agitated because, you know, Hank has just told him that, you know, I'm gonna put a tracking device on Gus Fring's car. And, you know, Gus Fring in the show is, you know, the meth drug lord who, you know, Walter White works for. And Walter had to kind of act like he was going along with it, but he didn't know what to do because he didn't want to, you know, clue his brother into the fact that, you know, I'm working for Gus Fring, and he didn't want Gus Fring to kill him because he did something for his brother, who was a DEA agent, right? So Gus Fring tells him, he says, look, they want me to put this tracking device on your car. And Gus Fring tells him, do it. And he's confused. He's like, what do you mean, like, do it? Gus Fring says, do it, do it, do it. And this is the same concept that the white man is taking. The white man is setting himself up to be the bad guy. Okay, I want you to follow me, because these places in, you know, the tricks get a little shaky. But he wants you to see, he doesn't want you to see him as the bad guy, right? But what he wants is for there to seem like there is an effort to be fair, which is a lie. It's not going to be no effort to be fair. Harvey Weinstein is not in jail. Okay. Kevin Spacey is not in jail. Okay. These white men are not going to jail. It is an effort to appear. That is the whole modus operandi of white supremacy. It's about appearances. Appearances are everything. Presentation. The way things look on the surface is everything. It doesn't matter how it is behind the curtains. Behind the curtains is all contorted and evil and disgusting. It's all about how pretty and red the curtains are. You understand? So the white man is doing a trick where he's trying to make it seem like, oh yes, you got me. I'm a bad guy. I should be judged. But he's not. He doesn't really mean that. This is a game that he's playing. So what they're doing is they're releasing propaganda where they, like in the new, you know, Scooby-Doo show, they got, you know, the character Freddy. He's villainized as like a toxic white male. And they're trying to do that. But it's, again, it's not because these people are like pro-black. And I don't want you to make that mistake. You know, Mindy Kaling is not pro-black. Mindy Kaling, who is the writer of the show and the little Indian girl who plays Velma, or not Indian, she's not an Indian girl at all. She's an old ass Indian woman now at this point. But she's not anti-white by any means. She's actually very pro-white. She's pro-white. She's not anti-white by any means whatsoever. She's pro-white and she's pro-white supremacy. This show is just about the social trick of telling white men that they're toxic because they hold conservative white views, right? That's all it's about. They want to reward, even though they still rely on the conservative white male, but that's a part of the trick. It's not like they hate. Oh, we hate white males' conservatism and their racism. No, you don't. This is just once again a trick to make it seem like you're on the side of the oppressed, and you're not. You're not on the side of the oppressed. So what I have called this term, and this is how I see it, I have referred to this phenomenon as the hiding of the white king. The hiding of the white king. I'm writing on this actually. I'm coming up with, something like an essay for this. The hiding of the white king. When you play chess, there's the black king and the white king. The kings are truly the only pieces that are not always in constant movement. They just stare at each other. The queens will be out. The pawns are out. Of course, they have to be out. The bishops, the knights, the rooks might be out. But the only two pieces that pretty much stay stationary, unless they're castling or something, is the kings. And what you know about the kings is that they're both hidden. They're both hidden behind the lines of their defense. And for so long, white men have been out in the open. They are what is called in the Holy Quran, our open enemy. Allah says that the devil, Satan, he is your open enemy. And the white man is our open enemy. He is not our concealed enemy. He is not our, hiding enemy. But he's making a transition to be a hidden enemy and a hidden Satan. He is going through his evolution into the role of Satan. See, the Bible talks about Satan and the power of Satan and the evil of Satan. And basically the Bible talks about the degrees of Satan. You know, he starts off as like a little garden snake, and by the end of the Bible, he's a raging fire-breathing dragon. This is the accumulating growth of Satan. But the accumulating growth of Satan is an ongoing process that we are getting to witness ourselves. We are getting to witness the accumulating growth of our enemy. And he's entering a phase now where he has done so much out in the open, even though he tried to conceal it. He did so much out in the open, even though he tried to conceal it. That now he is taking on the new phase and the new tactic of hiding. I want to hide because my numbers are dwindling and I'm becoming too weak. It's just like the Dracula story. Dracula go out, he make a bunch of vampires. Y'all do the vampire thing. The white man telling the Asians and the Mexicans, hey, you guys be white for me. I'm going to go hide in the cave. You all be white for me. I'm gonna go hide in the cave, and I'll come back out in about 1,000 years. This is actually the white man's plan. I'm gonna hide myself. I don't want people to be saying the white man is the devil. I want to make it so that my presence doesn't even exist. So when you say, man, the majority of the CEOs are white, no. Not the CEO of my company. The CEO of my company is a black woman. And I made it that way so that you wouldn't suspect that I'm the person that's telling her what to do. I'm hiding myself from public so that I can rule in private. I can rule from the shadows. I want to rule from the shadows. This is what I'm calling the hiding of the white king. And you'll see this more and more in shows. So they changed Joel. Why? Why they changed you, Joel? Why they changed you with a Mexican? Because Joel is a strong white male. And right now the phase is we want to keep strong white males on the back end, hidden away. We don't want it to be seen that you are the hero and all this, that, and the third, because we're trying to give the white woman some time to rule, because the white woman can be an effective co-ruler. The white woman is great at being a white supremacist, because she can do something that the white man can't do successfully, and that's convince people that white supremacy is actually okay. The white woman has the ability to make people believe white supremacy is perfectly fine and natural, and hey, buddy, you know, you're being too aggressive. You should be more, white people, we're all about love, okay? Nobody can talk like that except for a white woman. Nobody can be convincing of that type of feminine innocence, alleged innocence, and convince you that, you know, you're drinking water when it's actually pee, like a white woman. Only the white woman can trick a person into drinking pee like that. The white man is jealous of her in that degree. As a race of devils, they are devilish in different ways. She's very in awe of his evil. Like, oh wow, he can just kill people. Wow, that's so cool. That's why you see a lot of white people, a lot of white women having crushes on fucking serial killers and shit. Oh wow, I really like the way he kills. He kills so good. And then he is like, wow, she has the power of seduction and the power of seeming like she's not evil. That even I can't, and the white man can do that too. Sometimes the white woman and her nature as a woman, the woman nature makes her become bold and something. And that's why you have Karens and all these incidents of Karens. And I'm going to talk about that, the Karen thing, in another video. I don't want to get off track now. But the white man oftentimes has to tell the white woman, look, you need to kind of chill because your racism is showing. Because the white woman can be so bold. You know, she's not as intelligent at being a racist as the white man is. The white man can be a racist and really never reveal the fact that he is one. But the white woman is, because of her woman nature, which is kind of attached to a childlike nature, it may, you know how children just speak and say shit, or you know how your girlfriend, she just talk and just say anything that just come to her mind. She don't process the information. Really, she just said, just blah, I just said that. And then now you got to sit there and like, yo, you just said that. That's how the white woman is too. So you can always tell the white woman is a racist. This seems like I'm contradicting myself, but it's not. You can always tell the white woman is a racist more than you can tell the white man is. But everybody assumes that the only racist is a white man. When people say, yeah, it's the white man. Oh, you don't say it's the white man, because that's putting onus on only one side of the operation. It's a two-sided operation. It's the white man and the white woman. So this is the plan. So this is the plan. We want the white woman to rule over the other races now, because they'll listen to her, because many of them want to have sex with you. You know, Karen, like, a lot of people want to have sex with you, and the sexual attractiveness of you gives us leverage that we need for you to make them follow you. And then, of course, we know that you're following me, really. You can't have a show with a white male. That's what I'm saying about The Last of Us. Because they're trying to show the feminine aspect of Satan. They want to lead people to hell. You can't lead people to hell as a man. Because men, the nature of a man is to drag people to hell. That's the masculine nature of Satan. That's when you look at those old stories of Satan and the devil dragged him to hell. That's the masculine, you know, forceful. I'm going to take you to hell. I'm taking you with me to hell. But that is not what will work today. So they have to incorporate a new side of themselves in order to get people where they want them to be, which is in hell. We want you to be in hell. We can't drag you because you're going to resist. And if you resist, then you're stronger than us. So you might break us. And if you resist too much, you probably will break our hands, because our hands are frail and fragile. You know, we're only strong because we drink your blood. Back to the vampire analogy. We're only strong because we tricked you into thinking that we were strong. So if you resist, then, you know, but if you go on your own accord, that's different. If you go to hell because we invited you, like, say, for like a party. we're having drinks in hell tonight. Do you want to come by? That's the white woman. We're having drinks in hell. Everybody, please come. Oh, my God. That's the white woman. So they're incorporating a different side of the feminine side of Satan. The feminine side of Satan is going to seduce people into hell. So that's the reason why you take the white man out. Take the white man, Joel, out. Joel, you're out. We'll find this Mexican and we'll make him basically like the example of what we want people to do. We want the Mexicans, the Indians, the black niggers, we want all of them to follow white women. The white woman is your guide. She will help you into all of the ways of Satan. The white woman is your guide. So we want to make a show showing you that we made this Mexican who is doing a terrible job at portraying Joel. He's just awful, because they wrote his character as having a weakness. They wrote the female characters as having an advantage over him. Whereas traditionally, when you would see that role, like just like in the game, Joel is the one calling all the shots all the time. Just a white man in charge. I'm the white man. And this is why I say, well, Joel, no, I don't. Who the fuck are you talking to? I'm the white man. And that's what I said. And pack up your bags and let's get the fuck out of here. But Joel, I don't. I'll fucking bury you right now. I'll shoot you and put you in the dirt right now if you don't pick up that bag and follow me and get out of here. This Joel is a bitch. He's not talking like that. He letting a little white girl tell him, hey, look, I know how you think, buddy, so I'm going to always be 10 steps ahead of you. And literally in the show, when you see her, guess who's ahead? Her. She's always walking ahead of him. And we as men, we instinctively know that's a sign of disrespect. It's always a sign of disrespect. Your woman, y'all walking to the same destination, she walking 8-10 clicks in front of you. That's immediately disrespectful, because she's showing that she don't need you. There's a sense of independence there. There's a sense of arrogance there. But this is all, in this show, it's all, you know, written. And, you know, when they write these shows, they have psychologists look at these shows to make sure that the psychological impact that they want to make is going to hit. We want to make sure that we can successfully get across the message that feminism is the way to go. But we don't want to, we're not going to just ever come out and say it. So we'll put it in the zombie context. It's just like when somebody wants you to take medicine, but then they hide it in your applesauce. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The sillier people or the less observant people say, oh man, a new zombie show. Cool. Wiser people say, oh, a new program. A new show and an old program inside of it. Let's watch it and see. No, oh, cool, zombie show. No, it's not a zombie show for real. It's about the plan that is to come. It's about the upcoming plan. You know, the plan that white people say they don't have. We don't have a plan. There's no conspiracy. We don't have a plan, a written plan. No, you don't have a written plan because it's all communicated in subtleties. That's how you can get white. How do you get white people who all say the same exact thing all the time? Do black people always say the same exact thing all the time? Not always. We're very divided. We're very divided people. So you don't always get us saying the same thing. This black person plays Yu-Gi-Oh. That black person is doing stocks and bonds. This black person is, a thug, or this black person twerks. And that nobody's agreeing with anybody. No two people have the same idea in their head at any given time. No two people are on the path to the same destination at any given time. You have a household full of people all going in their own direction. But not so with white people. Not so with white people. They're all going in the same direction. And that's to hell. They're all going to hell. And they think that the hell that they're going to is the one that they're going to create. Because if they can control the hell that they live in, if white people can control the hell they live in, then they call that heaven. Because their nature is satanic. So if we're living in a place where everything is beautiful, but everybody else is living terribly, then that's heaven to us, even though it's truly hell. But white people are actually going to hell because God is going to send them there. He's going to send them to a place where they burn for the things that they did. That I'm getting off subject a little bit, but I want to put that into your minds because that is what we believe, us readers of the book and us readers of, of God's words. That's what we believe. That's what white people believe who say that they are Christians. But of course, the nature of Satan is to try to get everybody to go to hell. It ain't just about me going to hell. So they'll say, no, the Bible is not about just us. It's about, we all can go to hell. That's their goal. And they're going to be successful. There's going to be many black people who burn with whites because they chose incorrectly in which master they serve. Out of fear of white people, they chose whites to bow down to them. And they're going to go to hell for that too. But yeah, so they have Joel. Joel is a Mexican. He's a bitch. He's not a white man, because they want to try to keep the white man out of the limelight. Look, white man, your name is not good right now because you're killing people. You're doing police brutality killings. You're doing all this evil shit all the time that when we put you in a movie, people just say that, oh shit, here goes another white man, being heroic. So we want you to kind of like sit off to the side and we're going to like let the white woman be in charge. But what about the role of Joel? Who's going to play Joel? I wanted to play Joel. We're going to let a Mexican play Joel. Because, essentially, Mexicans are people who have natural human characteristics, but they want to be white. Mexicans and people of that persuasion, that South American persuasion, they are, sure enough, original people of the planet Earth, but they have a particular, they were bit by a particular white bug that doesn't allow them to see, always see. No, there's many, many of brothers and sisters of that nation who do see, that do see. They see it, they know it, they believe it, and they even profess it amongst themselves. But then there's many others who are, you know, convinced that they are just white people too. So yeah, put him in the role. He's a proxy white man. And then they just had this episode where the whole episode was about gay people. That was the worst shit in the world to watch. You got Nick Offerman, this dude from Parks and Recs, who is kind of funny. I like Nick Offerman. He goes from being a loner badass to immediately turning into a bitch because the man that he welcomes into his home is a homosexual. They're both secret closeted homosexuals or something like that. And they come out and feel free to be themselves because society is destroyed. They kind of made an allusion to that at the beginning of the episode where, you know, now that Nick Offerman's character, he's, you know, sitting in a dark place watching security cameras for, you know, looking at the outside world and how the military is killing people and how people are dying and this, that, and the third. And all he's doing is just waiting, biding his time, just waiting for them to basically all kill each other or go away, for him to come out and now enjoy this newfound freedom. Like, hey, there's no more people. I'm like the last man on earth. I can do whatever I want. I can live without any restrictions, without any rules, and without any, you know, social contracts being held over me. So if I want to be a homosexual, I can be that, because what they're trying to say is that it's not that, what they're trying to make in that statement is that homosexuality's rejection is a product of society and is not a natural rejection. Homosexuality is a natural rejection. Men naturally reject homosexuality. It's a knee-jerk reaction. If you put something homosexual-like in front of a man, he will have a negative reaction to it. It's not that he's faking it. Society told me to be angry at this. No, he's truly in his bones hating it because he knows that it's not natural. He's truly having a repulsion towards it. It's not because of society like they try to make it. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to reprogram society, or just destroy and delete and purge and, you know, depopulate the earth, like Bill Gates said, in order so that there won't be any society anymore for us to, we can live how we want to live. Satan will reign forever. We'll get rid of God. We'll get rid of God's people. You know, you won't have to worry about some black guy, you know, trying to tell you the truth and trying to make you do things that are right. You can live however you want. We're going to kill all the black guys. We're going to kill Martin Luther King, and we're going to kill Malcolm X, and we're going to kill all of them that talk that way, so that you can live however you want. We don't want you to be, you know, all, you know. But structure and order is really love, and doing whatever you want is really the act of a child, and the immaturity in it results in a lot of chaos. And that's why the homosexual community is not a community at peace. They are a community at constant, engaged in constant warfare, because they're engaged in constant warfare with themselves. Their battle is never going to be done, because there's no ending place. There's no resting place for the homosexual. They live a lonely life. They don't live a life of contentment and, you know, feeling protected and secure in their role, because they have rejected their role. The woman has rejected that a man can facilitate her peace. And now she's looking to a woman. So now when she doesn't get peace from the woman, now it's constant antipathy, constant arguing. You're supposed to be my peace, bitch. Why aren't you being my peace, bitch?
bitch, why aren't you being mine? Why aren't you being mine, bitch?
Because you're not created to do those things for each other. And then you got a gay man. I just want somebody to, I don't know with the gay, if I took time to think about it, I'm not trying to take too much time to think about what the gay man is thinking about, but yeah, he's not getting what he wants. I want someone feminine, or the other gay man, I want someone masculine. But now I feel oppressed. Man, I saw a gay dude that when I used to work at the jewelry department at JCPenney, man, this gay dude had this little boy. Well, he was little to him. He was probably, you know, legally an adult. But it was an older white gay man who was big, tall, very aggressive, very, very just mean and nasty and disgusting. You know, I tried to talk to him. Hey, sir, how are you doing? I want this. I want that. Blah, blah, blah. That's what homosexuality does to you, because it puts you into an overly aggressive state of mind. Or you can be like the homosexual who is more ginger and all that type of stuff. But he's also a person who is conflicted as well. He doesn't have, you know, he has to surround himself with a whole lot of materialism to hide the fact that he's not really not happy. You know, that's what the art community really is. The art community acts as a way to, you know, portray a certain level of stability in having a lot of mental issues. You know, in the art community, having a mental issue is, you know, great, because they think that it provides you with a certain level of creativity. They want you to have a problem because they feel like there's beauty in chaos. And they can derive something beautiful out of your problem. Where did I get this? Where am I going with this? The show is stupid. Yeah, the show is stupid. It's awful. You see the gay guy. He goes, Nick Offerman's character goes from being real in charge, holding the gun to the guy, and then as soon as the man that Nick Offerman's character lets come into his house, as soon as he kisses Nick Offerman, Nick Offerman immediately turns into the submissive one in the relationship. He goes from being this, you know, this man like this, I'm making a steak, I'm eating a steak. That's how Nick Offerman talks. I'm eating a steak, I have a gun, I'm going to shoot you and I'm going to kill you if you don't get off my property. That's Nick Offerman. As soon as this other white dude kisses Nick Offerman, Nick Offerman turns into a smooth bitch. The smoothest of bitches. He just immediately deflates and turns into a little boy, because there can only be one male. Can't be two males. So then that man's like, hey, as soon as he goes from being the woman, or being not really the woman, being the less aggressive male, because, you know, he's, you know, coming into Nick Offerman's house and he has to kind of listen to Nick Offerman, and Nick Offerman being this big burly, you know, white male, hey, do this and do that, do this and do that. As soon as they kiss, their roles switch. Boop. And the guy who is the guest in Nick Offerman's house says, go upstairs and take your clothes off. Nick Offerman nods his head and says, okay. I'm like, yo, this is the most evil shit. But it's so funny. They eating strawberries in the garden together just to show that, oh, you know, we're homosexuals. We're so innocent and we're so fairy-like. We love the simple things in life. That's not what it is. That's not what it is, man. Man, homosexuals are some of the most rottenest motherfuckers you will ever meet in your life. And it ain't because you trying to make, it ain't because they're being provoked to be. That's just how they are. That's just how they are. They're rotten. They gossip. They always talking shit about somebody. They're rotten ass people. And that's all due to the psychology behind how they live their life. There's consequences to going down that road psychologically. And it shows in their personalities. Hey, look, that's all I got. That's all I got to say. I'm cut for time. I'm done. So I appreciate y'all for listening. Hopefully you got something out of it. Peace.